basics. And the basics is God made man and then God made a woman. He made them male and he made them female. Are y'all with me? And the way you came out of the womb, that's what you are. Say amen. All you got to do is, if you're not real sharp about it, just look in a mirror and you'll be able to figure it out. Y'all with me? And it's a shame that you have to do that nowadays. Our public schools are pushing for these kids to try to figure out if they're boys or girls. Well, it's wicked as hell is what it is. I said that's wicked as hell. And then God instituted marriage because he said it was not good. You read your first couple chapters in Genesis, whatever God did, it was good. And he said it was good. It was very good. But then he gets here with man by himself and he said it is not good for the man to be alone. And so God will make him an help meet for him. And so God instituted marriage. Marriage is a divine institution. Marriage is between a male and a female. Okay? A marriage is not between two men or two women. That is not a marriage in the eyes of God. That's just an abomination. Could I get an amen there? Family is when a man and a woman marry up and have babies, and that is a family in the eyes of God. Just because somebody else says this is a family, that does not make it a family. One of the problems, one of the main problems in America is the devil has taken his artillery and he's shooting at God's institution of marriage. You break down the home and you break down society. And we've seen the breakdown of the home and we've seen the destruction of society in America. Now here's the problem. So many so-called Christians live so much in the world and observe so much of the world that they're like the world, and the world has come into the church where it has no business being. And so I'm just going to teach and preach a little bit on the home. Let's go to Psalm 127. Now, the best way to have a home is to get saved. Psalm 127. My mom and dad, they got married. They got engaged. They dated. They were not saved. They dated. They got engaged. They did not come together and know one another until they got married. And they got married in April. And I was born in January, and if you do the math, that's 9 months. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. Now, I don't mean the 9 months part. I mean, right afterwards, you do whatever you want to do, you know. But I'm telling you, you get married, and then you have children. That's good. That's what God intended. So, well, you know, that's not what so-and-so. I couldn't care less what any so-and-so says. Okay, somebody says, well, you know, this is an educated person. Well, I feel sorry for him, but I still don't believe him, okay? I thank God for the Word of God. I'll tell you, degrees, letters at the end of somebody's name does not intimidate me. I know what the truth is. I've got the Word of God. I've got the Holy Ghost to guide me into the truth. I know what God says. Are y'all with me? I'm not backpedaling. I'm not backing up on anybody. And I thank God for this book. In Psalm 127, the Bible says, except the Lord build the house. Now, I'm sure you know that you newlyweds, you can get all the books that you want to get. But if you don't get in the book, you're going to have a problem. And if the Lord doesn't build your home, you're going to have a problem. You know, that's what the Bible says. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain. They build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. I thank God that the Lord is building my house. I thank God I've been married to the same woman for 46 years by the grace of God. I thank God she hasn't stepped out and committed adultery on me. I thank God that I haven't stepped out and committed adultery on her. Are y'all with me? Amen. Divorce has never come up in our disagreements and our debates. Amen. Murder once or twice, but never divorce. Verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Are y'all with me? You know what? That's not what American society believes anymore. They think you ought to just have 1.7 children, that you shouldn't, and all that kind of business. My Bible says children are an heritage of the Lord. It's better than $1 million. It's better than a yacht. It's better than a mountain home. It's better than a fancy car. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Now, how many children you have, that's between you and God. Are y'all with me? But I'll just tell you, a man whose quiver is full, he's in good shape according to the Bible. And he does say, be fruitful and multiply. Multiply. 2 times 2 is 4. 4 times 2 is 8. 8 times 2 is 16. And like, are y'all with me? Amen. Amen. Not many people believe that anymore either. Verse number 4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man. Hey, now listen to me. One of the good things about having a bunch of kids like I do is that, you know, when I get dementia and I get old and feeble and everything, one kid will keep me for a month and then they'll move me to another kid's house and then they'll move. And so they got 9 months covered up, you know, maybe somebody take an extra week here or there. But just once a year, they got to put up with the old man. That's a blessing. I'd rather do that than go into some other place. Are y'all with me? He said, you think your kids would do that? They better. Verse 5, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Look at verse Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. I'm going to teach you on the home, but I'm going to teach you his ways. Okay, not Dr. So-and-so, not Dr. Phil, not Orpah. God's ways. Verse 2. For thou should eat the labor of thine hands. You know what God teaches? You go to work, you buy food, and then you enjoy the food. But before you enjoy the food, you go to work. W-O-R-K. You don't sit on your doorstep waiting for the government check to come by. You go to work. W-O-R-K. That's good preaching right there. And he says in verse number 3, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel. Well, I am living that now. Get to see my children. Get to see my children's children. And one of the joys is seeing my children train up their children in the way that they should go. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 3. I was just trying to lay a little bit of groundwork, show you what God thinks of the home and thinks of the family. As you know, this culture that we're living in, this world that we're living in, they're against God. They're against God's book. And they're against the family. They're against Bible principles. And I want to tell you, I'm against the world. I am not for this world one little bit. I want to give them the gospel. I want to tell them how to be saved, how they don't have to go and burn in hell forever. But I don't want any of their ways. Are y'all with me? No, I want God's ways. And then Mark chapter 3, I want to show you one verse. And this is really the topic of my message. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Now, guys, we are seeing in America a house divided against itself. Of course, we've been divided for many years, and the destruction of America is not far, far down the road. I'm not trying to be a gloom and doom preacher, but you can't violate the word of God and get away with it.
Amen.
And our country... They're changing history. Our country was founded by people that were born again Christians. Our country was principled by men and women that were born again Christians who believed the Bible was the word of God. And they wanted to worship God. They didn't want to worship Allah. They didn't want to worship Buddha. They wanted to worship God in heaven. They wanted to win the Indians to the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaim the gospel across this new land. Anything else you hear is a perversion of the devil. Amen. Well, here we have a problem. We have a house divided against itself, and that house cannot stand. So I'm preaching to you by as a man that's been married, been saved 46 years, been married 46 years, been preaching 45 years. This month, I think it's next Sunday, will mark my 45th anniversary of being a pastor. and I thank the Lord for the privilege. Well, what I have learned is that there's some very important things that a husband and a wife need to be in absolute 100% agreement on. Are y'all with me? Now, there's some things you don't have to be 100% in agreement on. For instance, my wife likes fish. I don't like fish. We are not in agreement on fish. But we have survived. That is not an absolute needful thing to be in agreement on. Are you with me? I think our front door should be Irish green. My wife does not believe that Irish green should be on our front door. Therefore, our front door is black. Am I making a point? I have 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 things here that it's going to take me a few weeks to preach on because I'm going to cover it thoroughly. I cover it for you newlyweds. You have made your decision. I sure hope you have counted the cost and you have gotten together on this before now. But I'm preaching to you singles. This is vitally important for you. Vitally important. The thing is that the thing in the world is, okay, I'm going to fall in love with this person who doesn't love the Lord or isn't saved or has a drinking problem or has a drug problem. And I know that that's not right. But after we get married, I'll be able to change them. That is not true.
Amen.
You are deceiving yourself.
Amen.
You're not changing them.
Amen.
So the very first point that I want to preach is that the thing that you must be in 100% absolute complete agreement on is your authority. Now, I got saved in 1975. I had been brought up in a religious home, though it was not a Christian home. Don't ask me why, but I did believe that the Bible was the Word of God. I, as I have grown in the Lord, I have done nothing but make that Bible my final authority. This is an independent, Bible-believing Baptist church. What we say on our doctrinal statement is that the Bible is our final authority in faith and practice. The fact of the matter is, people have that on a doctrinal statement, but they don't have it as a practical application in their life. And that's wrong. You need to have an absolute authority. That Bible will set us up as what is right and what is wrong. Authority. America has a real problem with authority nowadays, don't they? Buddy, I was raised, I thank God for the generation I was raised in. Timothy was talking about it in Sunday school. The children don't fear authority. Now, I'm telling you, when I was raised up, I feared adults. I feared all adults. I feared authority. I feared the teachers. I feared the nuns. I feared the priests. I feared the police officers. And I was taught to give them respect. That's not what this generation has been taught. And that's wrong. And you say, people, you should be teaching your children to have that respect and that submission to authority. Say amen.
Amen.
And the first way you can do it is set a good example for it. Amen. So, what both of you, husbands and wives, need to be settled on is the authority of the Word of God for our lives and for our home. You know what the problem in many homes is? That folks are not in their rightful biblical place.
Amen.
Remember the story in the book of Judges chapter 7, Gideon had his 300 men. One of the things that is pointed out in that passage is that every man was in his place. Brother Lester Roloff, who ran homes for wayward boys and girls and men and women down in Corpus Christi, Texas, he said that if your house is out of biblical order, you will lose your Bible blessings. So what we have to do is we have to go to the Bible and find out what God's order of authority is. So go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to look at God's order of authority. We're not going to look, Timothy was mentioning psychology this morning. We're not going to look at the psychological order of authority. We are going to look at God's order of authority. 1 Corinthians 11, look at verse number 1 with me. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now, I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. You men that are not submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your master, you're not right with God. The head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. Oh, wait a minute. We better go back and look at that. I wonder if that was a mistranslation or something. Hey, could we wait, read that phrase together? I need some of you ladies to help me with this nice and loud. And the head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. I didn't write that. And Pastor Matt didn't write that. God wrote that. Nowhere in that does it say that us men deserve to be the head. With that responsibility, with that position, Peter, comes a whole lot of responsibility. That when we stand before God Almighty at the judgment, Kevin, we will give account for how we ruled our home. Some woman says, I don't believe a man should tell me what to do. Then you are not in agreement with the Bible. So don't get married. Well, I'm just going to marry a man that believes it's okay for me to be the boss. Well, he's not a man. You're marrying a wuss. A sissy. Probably will wear your underwear. I didn't write that. God wrote that.
Amen.
Men should be the head of the home. Look at verse 7 in the same chapter. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman. Ladies, help me with this next phrase. But the woman for the man. I didn't hear a whole lot of women say that. Is that what it says? It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. So if I read my Bible correctly, that man's not doing so good by himself. So he needed what? He needed help. So a woman is supposed to be a what to her husband? A help. That's what it says. And most of the husbands I know, they need a lot of help. Would you agree with me? Nowhere ever in the scripture does it say a woman is a second class citizen. Nowhere ever in the scripture does it say that the man is the king and the woman is the slave in the kitchen and the cook in the kitchen and the maid in the living room. Are y'all with me? It doesn't say that. Just says that she's supposed to be in subjection. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. You know, I sort of am beginning to understand if somebody is ignorant enough to believe that our world, our earth, our universe, our planetary system started with a big explosion, then I understand why they're all whacked out and all their other thinking. I mean, you have to be a complete retard to think that an explosion set everything in order. You know what I read one time? I don't know much about science, guys. I'll just be honest with you. The only reason I passed biology is because the teacher liked me and I went out for the tennis team and he was a tennis coach and I got D's all year. So I read this. I read the tilt of the, y'all know that the earth is tilted on its axis, and we what's that called?
Rotate
on our axis, and also the earth rotates around the sun. Y'all know all that stuff, right? Well, what I read is that our earth is tilted so many degrees. I don't know what that, do you know how many degrees that is? 23 and a half. I knew it was something very specific. If we were just off less than a degree, it messed everything up. And you believe an explosion did that. One preacher said it this way. That'd be like going down to a printing building, several floors of printing presses, blow that building up, go into the rubble of the building, and find Noah Webster's dictionary, newly minted. It's ridiculous.
Amen.
I'm in Ephesians chapter 5. Let me pick up in verse number 18. The Bible says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I start there because as we go on down, the commands that God gives men and women is not going to be fulfilled if you're not filled with the Spirit. The Bible says, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, which is evidence of you being filled with the Spirit. Giving thanks always, more evidence, for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Harmony. There needs to be harmony in the home. My wife isn't a second class citizen. She is God's creation. She is my helpmeet. Now, I am of the old school. I believe I am king of my castle. But if I'm king, that makes her the queen.
Amen.
There is a submission to both of us. Verse number 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. So that means, ladies, you don't look at the best qualities of what you think is in another man's life and tell your husband that he ought to be like that guy. Are y'all with me? You married who you married, or you will marry who you will marry, and that's who you are supposed to be in subjection to. Say amen. And the Bible goes on, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. There's that phrase again. Even as Christ is the head of the church and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Guys, I showed you back in 1 Corinthians 11, your head is supposed to be Jesus Christ. You're supposed to be in subjection to Christ. You are supposed to be in subjection to the Word of God. So if the Word of God tells you to do something or not do something, you are supposed to do that. Now, that has a lot to do with a woman's confidence in you. Now, don't misunderstand me, okay? We are never, never, never going to deserve for a woman to submit herself to us. But it helps that woman when she sees that man is submitted to the Lord and trying to follow the Lord. Could I get an amen there? And so the Bible goes on, verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it. You ladies think you have a tough time submitting to your husbands. I'm telling you as a man, that's one of the greatest challenges in my life. To love my wife like Jesus loves the church. I don't want to get off too far here, but listen to me. He loved me unconditionally. I want to love that woman right there unconditionally. He's loved me with an everlasting love. I want to love her with an everlasting love. Are y'all with me? The Lord has been so good and merciful and long-suffering. I'm such an idiot. Now, you don't have to say amen right there. I am. I'm such an idiot. Idiot. You couldn't hear me? Idiot, me. I'm talking about me. Young, dumb, get bent out of shape about the stupidest things. You left the cap off the toothpaste again. What in the world is wrong with you? Can't even put a lid on the toothpaste. Boy, that's pretty important stuff right there. So what's the problem? What Tim was preaching about. The flesh.
Amen.
That flesh is so self-important, so self-centered. Think that you're right to lose your temper and criticize and talk down to.
Amen.
Say amen right there.
Amen.
That's not how my Lord does me.
Amen.
But He's gracious. His words are gracious words.
Amen.
Pleasant words. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Man, I tell you, my life's goal is try to get that woman to believe I'm the best Christian she knows. You say, I think you don't know me. She knows me. Are y'all with me? When you live with somebody, when you cohabitate with somebody, 46 years, there's not many secrets. Y'all with me? I want to love the Lord with all my heart. Well, that means loving her. Like Jesus loved me. Great challenge. Let me continue on. I sort of got off track there. Verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, and I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, I'm going to get into more about the duties and the responsibilities of husbands and wives. What I'm trying to get at right now is that husbands and wives need to be in 100% agreement about authority. Now, I have showed you, have I not, that the head of the man is supposed to be Christ and the head of the woman is supposed to be the man. Have you all seen that? Turn with me. Would you go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 2? This is teaching out of the Word of God that even independent Baptists don't believe, but I believe it. I was taught it by a very godly man that lived it, and him and his wife had a wonderful, wonderful marriage, and that really verified for me what they did. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, look with me at verse number 14. In chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes 14, the Bible says, the wise man's eyes are in his what? Okay, now, listen. Did you hear Brother Hank preach this message? Did you guys, heard Brother Hank preach? Have you heard Brother Hank preach this message? Brother Hank's in heaven, and Brother Hank is the one who introduced me to this. He said, the wise man's eyes are where? Okay, well, wait a minute. Is that just talking about these two eyeballs are in this head? No, it's a spiritual teaching, isn't it? A wise man's eyes are in his what? So Erica's eyes should be where? If she's a wise woman, should be in Peter. He's the head of that home, and she's looking to him for leadership, for protection, for guidance, for provision, spirituality. I mean, there's a whole ball of wax here that we're talking about, but her eyes should be in her head. In the Old Testament, when Saul was looking for his daddy's donkeys and they couldn't find them, they wanted to go to the preacher. What did they call the preacher? The seer. See, what some of you don't believe that you should believe is the preacher can see things. The pastor can see things you don't see. That's why God gave you a pastor, gave you a seer. Y'all with me? He would give you some counsel. He would give you some teaching. Well, it says here, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in what? Darkness. Well, anything the world teaches you is darkness. So those of you that are patterning your lives after what the world is teaching you, you are a fool. And you're walking in darkness. And what happens to people who walk in darkness? They're going to get tripped up, end up in a ditch someplace, or hurt. But I want you to turn with me to Proverbs 17. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 24. In Proverbs 17, verse number 24, it says, "Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are where? In the ends of the earth." You know what some of y'all believe? Some of y'all believe that if you make more money that you'll be happy. And so you go get your job. Some of you get two jobs, three jobs. You lay out of church, you lay out of ministry so you can get money so you can be happy. You know what you're doing? You're following the ways of the world. You're not going to get happy with money. And what you're going to do is you're going to mess up your testimony. And when you stand before the Lord and you spend all that time making that money when you could have been doing something for the Lord, you're going to have regrets there. Who's your head? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. A wise man's eyes are in his head. Or in his head. Listen, as I'm teaching this, I am not trying to talk you into making me your pastor. Do you understand that? That is a personal decision that individuals make. When you in your heart decide that you want me to be your pastor, there's an awful lot of responsibility that rests with me. Those of you that don't want me to be your pastor, you just want to attend church here and listen to me preach. Buddy, you lighten my load a lot. I won't have to give account. But those of you that submit yourselves, buddy, I got a lot to give account for. That's why I take it so seriously. I don't think it's just how many people are sitting in the pew. I think, how are you doing in your walk with the Lord? How is your marriage going? How are you doing training your children? How are the children doing? Hebrews chapter 13, it says in verse number 7, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Well, who has the rule over you? Now, look, be honest with yourself. Who's your head? See, it has to do with authority. See, when you kids get married, you need to decide, what does this man, what does this woman believe about God's authority? Am I going to have problems here if I want to wholly sell out to the Lord? Look at verse 13. I'm sorry, verse 17, Hebrews 13. "Obey them that have the what?" Name me somebody who rules. A king. A king rules. Our Lord had three offices. Now I'm getting ahead of myself. So he was prophet, he was priest, and he was king. Amen. Us men that are married, God has deputized us as prophet, priest, and king in our home. We have that responsibility. A pastor, listen to me, somebody runs something. Somebody is running this country. It's not Joe Biden. Well, somebody's going to rule your house, right? Well, according to God, the man should rule. He says there, "Obey them that have the rule of you," in the church. I was talking to a guy and I told him, I said, "We are not a congregational church." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "The congregation doesn't make the decisions of the church." He goes, "Who makes the decisions?" I said, "I do." He said, "You?" I said, "Yeah, I'm the pastor. I make the decisions. I tell the church what we're going to do and they hook up to my bumper and they follow me and that's what we do." I have never been in a church like that. I said, "Well, this is the first time for everything." So what happened? Never came back. But that's okay. Are y'all with me? Obey them that have the rule of you and submit yourselves. Oh, see, there's your part. You submit. I don't make you. I don't crack the whip over you. I don't tell you you have to. That's your decision. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your what? I want you to think about something. How many people do you think pray for you every single day? I know two people pray for you people that are sitting in this building right now, every day. That woman there and me. We call your name out. When you're going through the trials of life or sicknesses, we pray about that stuff. When you're struggling with stuff that we know you're struggling with, we pray about that stuff. Why? Because we watch over your souls. We don't punch the clock at 8 o'clock and then unpunch the clock at 4:30 and forget all about y'all. The care of the churches is on our heart all the time. I am not a hireling. You guys don't pay me. I don't have a salary. Y'all with me? Now, the church takes very good care of me. Why? Because they do it God's way. Very generous people. But I'm not hired. So if I wasn't hired, guess what? You can't fire me. No, I started this thing with the help of the Lord. You got on board. Anytime you want to get off board, it's your decision. Authority. Do you see how important authority is? Do you see why so many homes are in such a mess? Because they're not in agreement on God's authority. Wise people go to the seer to get what? Counsel. Find out what's going on. It doesn't matter. Guys, listen to me. Don't swallow the lie of the world that education makes people smart. Okay, I'm 68. I have lived life for 68 years. I don't care if you have a PhD, HMD, an LLD, a DD, a DOG. I don't care what you got. I have been married for 46 years. I have raised 9 children. I have pastored church. I have lived life. I have been sick. I got more wisdom than you just from experience in life. For you to run into situations in your lives as young people and not seek counsel, you're not wise.
Amen.
Our Savior, He protects us. He gives us security. He provides for us. He loves us.
Amen.
Spiritually, emotionally, physically. Authority, very important. So before you get married, young people, you want to make sure you and your prospective spouse are in 100% agreement on authority. Amen. Number two. I told you it's going to take me several weeks to get through this. Number two, something that you need to be in agreement on is your doctrine. Now, number one, okay, you've got to marry on an equal yoke. You don't marry a lost person if you're saved. Okay, that is that's just a basic teaching of the Word of God. Don't marry somebody that's not saved. And listen to me. Just because somebody says they're saved doesn't make them saved. Look at their life. Check their fruit. Do an FBI background check on them. 2 Timothy. Go with me to 2 Timothy if you would. 2 Timothy. Doctrine. Okay, I'm going to say this. I'm getting ahead of myself. But boys, you don't want to marry a little girl. You don't want to marry some immature, you know, hold on to her blankie, suck her thumb insecurity, you know, run into mommy insecurity little girl. You want to marry a woman. That's what the Bible says. That doesn't mean there's an age. I have met women that are 30 years old that are very, very immature. I've met women that are 18 years old and are very mature spiritually. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Man, a lot. And then girls, you don't want to marry a little boy.
Amen.
Some sucker that's always running. If he's always running to mommy, that's probably a bad sign. I mean, when you're courting and you say something to him and he goes, let me check with mommy about that. That's not good. Just thought I'd throw that in there to lighten the mood here a little bit. 2 Timothy 3, look at verse 16. I'm telling you, there's going to be things come down the line and it'll show what that man, what that woman is.
Amen.
Circumstances, tests, trials. And you want somebody that'll stay with God?
Amen.
Or you want somebody that's just going to quit the ministry at the first little thing?
Amen.
I tell you. I mean, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Well, where do we get our doctrine from? We get it from the book.
Amen.
Get it from the Word of God. And so just as illustration, OK, I don't think it would be a good thing, Naomi, if you would court and marry a charismatic, somebody that doesn't have any convictions on the Word of God, somebody who's a tongue talker, or somebody that, are y'all with me? Somebody thinks he can lose his salvation, all that kind of business. No. You want to line up with somebody that, you know, believes like you believe. You want to be in agreement about it. You don't want to be sitting there in church and the preacher preaches something that you've been hearing your whole life and your spouse goes, I don't believe that. We need to find another church. No, you need to be on the same page. Okay, now my third point is discipline of children, which I'm going to skip that right now and come back to it. My fourth point is distribution of money. You know what has broken up many, many homes in the church is the distribution of money. I have seen in independent Baptist churches where men have really caught a vision for sacrificially given to missions and given by faith. Faith promised missions, and the woman not being on board there and her seeing money where she could spend it at this or that or the other thing going to missions, and it divides that house. There needs to be a 100% agreement on the distribution of money. And see, really, once again, there's the leadership of the man. I have seen homes break up. Listen to me. We ought to teach our kids some responsibility. So, Dan, I don't think it is wrong for us as fathers, if some guy wants to court our daughter, that we know what kind of financial responsibility he has. Does this guy pay his bills? Is he going to pay his bills? Does he pay his bills on time? Is he frivolous with his money so that he just goes ahead and flits something out and then it's time to pay a bill and he ain't got nothing to pay the bill on? Y'all with me? Is he willing to make some sacrifices so that there's a roof over his wife's head and that there's groceries in the refrigerator and there's gas in the car and the insurance bill is paid and electric bill is paid? Are y'all with me? Distribution of money. Well, there needs to be some leadership there by the grace of God. And so that was my fourth point, and I'll do some more of that. What I wanted to get into, which I'm not going to have a whole lot of time to do this morning, but you need to be in 100% absolute agreement before you get married on your duties and responsibilities as husbands, as wives, as mothers, and as fathers. The Bible lays it out for us. That Bible has taught me how to be a man. It has taught me how to be a good husband. It has taught me how to be a good father. I wish I had learned some lessons earlier on being a good father. Sometimes we got to take our licks as we grow up and learn the hard way. Start with me in Proverbs 18. I will begin, but I will not get finished today. Proverbs 18 and verse number 22. Bible says, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a what? And obtaineth favor of the Lord. Would you think that just any old wife would be a good thing? No, I think the book of Proverbs is very clear, Brother Daniel. It's a prudent wife. It's a virtuous woman that is connected here. Just getting married does not meet that requirement. You with me? That's why I think it is a good thing to sort of leave the decisions to who you marry up to the Lord. I think the Lord has each of our own best interests at heart. And I think the Lord is able to overcome all circumstances and put together the right man and the right woman to those who are willing to wait on His perfect will. Now, I'll be honest. You know my testimony as well as anybody. You know, I didn't get saved till I was 22 years old. Miss Keenan was 19 years old. 19 years old. We had dated for a couple years. We were lost. We didn't know the Lord. I got saved, and then she got saved and started going to a good church. They started preaching to us, and we wanted to live for the Lord. And we knew we weren't living for the Lord. So we prayed about it. Now, I'm being honest with you guys. I don't know how to be anything else. It was God who brought Miss Keenan and I together. I could go back through the circumstances. I know the other day she told you kids in Sunday school classes the circumstances of how God providentially crossed our path. It's a beautiful story. It's one of my favorite stories. Of course, it involves me. Do you understand? Now listen to me. The Lord loves me. And He did that for me because He loves me. Well, He doesn't love me more than He loves you. He wants your best interest as much as He wanted my best interest. You just have got to wait on His timing. Miss Steph, you know Miss Steph, she's from Texas. Austin, Texas, by way of Colorado. Pastor Matt was in New York. God used the man of God. Brother Hank Thompson brought them together. Steph was Ohio. Dan was Indiana. God brought them together. Kevin and Lori weren't even saved. And providentially, God brought them together. Wouldn't you like to have God do that in your life? He would. He wants to. But you got to let Him. You got to let Him. Now look at chapter 19 in Proverbs. Look at verse 14. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. You guys have heard me say this, and I'll say it again. That woman sitting there has never tried to hinder me from serving the Lord. She's never held me back from going to church and living for God. I've told you the first time we ever did Faith Promise, we were making $200 a week. And the Lord laid it on my heart to give $35. And that Friday night, I had the ticket in my pocket. I was going to put in that thing $35. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me before that. And He told me $50. And I'm thinking, $50, that's 25%. And I crossed it out, put it in. After church, I went up to her and I said to her, I said, listen, I said, God spoke to my heart before church service. And I said, it wasn't 35 because we had prayed about it. We had talked about it. We had agreed upon it. And I put down $50. And her first words out of her mouth were, praise the Lord. Not, what are you doing? Where's the groceries going to come from? Say amen. No, she's never done that. Man, I can't imagine what it'd be like, Dan, to try to serve the Lord and have your wife be an anchor on you. Try to go to church and, you know, she doesn't want to go to church. Want to go visiting and she doesn't want to go visiting. Want to get involved in ministries and she doesn't want to get... Or opposite, the woman wants to, and the man doesn't. You need to be in 100% agreement about this stuff. Prudent wife. So what I want to do is I want to look at the responsibilities of the man first. The Bible, as I brought out in Ephesians chapter 5, we looked at the verses in chapter 5. The man is the head of the house. God has made man the deputy of the home. The man is supposed to be in charge as a prophet, a priest, and a king. The prophet got a message from God to others, and the prophet watches out for the spiritual well-being and interests of those who are under him. There's a great responsibility for the man of the house as prophet. Is there not a verse in 1 Corinthians 14 that tells the wife that if she has a question, she should be able to ask her husband at home? So that means the husband has to do what? He has to study his Bible. He has to read and study his Bible and know and be able. And then, listen, there's no shame in not knowing the answer, but then be able to find the answer, whether it be through his pastor or through study of the Word of God or whatever it might be. Then there's the office of priest. According to Hebrews 7, the priest ever liveth to make intercession. That's our Lord. Well, you should pray for your family. I mentioned to you that your pastor prays for you every day. You should pray for your own family every day. One of the prayers that you should pray after you pray for your kids to get saved is that your kids would marry in the perfect will of God. The second most important decision these young people make is who they marry. It'll make their life or ruin their life. Vitally important. We want God to work there. So there's a prayer. You should be a good spiritual protector of your home. There's things you should not let in your home because you're the head of that home and you are protecting your children. You fathers, it's not the government's job to educate your children. It's your responsibility to see that they're educated in the things of the Lord. And you should thank God for a church that has a little Christian school that instills the character and discipline in children that they need. And you being unable to do that, and that's okay. Then you have a king. The king is the ruler. Would you go with me? We're in Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 29. People are always arguing, I don't think the man should be the boss, I don't think he should be the head, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. Let me show you what the Bible says. Proverbs 29, verse 2. Proverbs 29, verse 2. The Bible says, when the righteous are in what? The people what? Okay, how much rejoicing is going on in your home? If you're a righteous ruler in your home, there's a lot of rejoicing going on. That's because that's what the Bible says. Should be a lot of happiness. Should be a lot of laughter. Should be a lot of conversation going on. A lot of sweet music. Are y'all with me? Is that what it says? When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Do you know what Miss Keenan and I do? You'd like to know, wouldn't you? We make each other laugh. We enjoy one another's company. So what do you laugh about? Well, it's really none of your business. But we laugh about what we forget about. Like, you know, when I get up and I get out of the chair and I said, babe, can I get you anything? And she goes, no. And I get over to the closet or to the refrigerator and I go, what am I doing here? And I go, hey, babe, what am I doing here? She goes, how am I supposed to know? No, listen to me. Making each other laugh is a good thing. We don't laugh at one another. We laugh with one another. There's joy in my home. Why? I want to be a righteous ruler. I want my people to be happy. Now, I'm going to, listen, you know I share the good and the bad and the ugly. When I was younger, Tim, I mean, that stuff you're teaching and preaching, everybody here knows that's vital. And the earlier, guys, the earlier you get victory, the more you'll enjoy the fruit. But man, I would get in the flesh and get mad and I'd have words with her and the tension would be in the kitchen. The kids would come in they'd know it. It's my fault. It wasn't her fault. It's my fault. And that one time Hannah walked in there, we weren't even having words. We had had words, and the tension, it was so thick. And she walked in, she walked to the counter, she looked at her mother, she looked over at me, she started crying. She said, "I hate it when you guys are like this. That's my fault. I wish I could go back and change it." So what I encourage you is listen to what he preached and make the changes now. Then the righteous are in authority, not the fleshly, not the carnal, the righteous. People rejoice. And buddy, when you do get in the flesh, get right away. Make the apologies right away. Don't get proud and full of that poppycock. Go around for a day or two, chest puffed out. I'm right. Yeah, you're right. You're right as rain, aren't you? No, you're wrong. So if I am the king, then my wife is the queen. Look at, I forgot to read the last part of that verse in Proverbs 29:2. It says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people what?
Mourn."
How are your kids doing? See, that affects them greatly. Greatly. So we're looking at the responsibility of the husband here, and he's supposed to be a righteous prophet, a righteous priest, a godly king. He's supposed to pray. He's supposed to bring the message from God. He's supposed to rule as a righteous man. Man. We're supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church. There's no selfishness in Christ's love for us. There's a compassion. Hey, guys, would you agree with me that your wife is not like you? Yes. The answer is yes to that. And that is a good thing. And there's some emotional things women go through that you men will never understand. It'll never make sense to you because you're a man. You should be compassionate to that woman because God made her that way. You need to learn that. God, you need to learn that. And listen to me, it is wrong for you to neglect your wife. It is wrong for you to neglect your family, to make money, to play sports, to mess around in your hobbies, to mess around on your devices. Could I get an amen right here? It is wrong. It is sin for you to neglect them. For you to just tell your wife, "You take care of training the kids, I'm not going to have anything to do with that." That is wrong. The man is given that responsibility. Now, we do it together as husband and wife, but you don't just pawn it off on the man. There's a great deal of responsibility. So you girls, when you are looking to marry somebody, you want to know what kind of a man this guy is going to be. What? Check his track record. See how he treats his mother and father. See how he treats his brothers and sisters. Talk to his pastor if he is submitted to his pastor. It's vitally important. Us men, we need to learn to die to ourselves, yield to the Holy Ghost, and walk in the Spirit. We might bear the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Okay. I'm not done with you guys yet. But what I want to do is I want to get into marital love. We're looking at the responsibilities of a husband and a father, but I also want to look at the responsibilities of marital love. And then I will get into the ladies. Then I will do the discipline of children. I'll go over the distribution of money again. And also, guys, there should be a dedication in our hearts to want to serve the Lord. That's what one of the only things that we talked about before we got married is I told her, "You know, the Lord has changed me. I want to live for God." And she said, "Well, he's changed me too, and I want to live for God." And that's what we've done.
Amen. Let's pray.